Poetry on the Radio. Poetry in and around the ACT. Today, Jackie Malins tells us about the upcoming Poetic City Festival, plus the Rhyming Bugle, poetry events and news from the region. I'm Peter Searles. Jackie Malins has organised an extraordinary series of events around Civic, Poetic City Canberra Winter Edition. The festival runs from July the 1st to July the 10th, but with events, performances and workshops before and after those dates too.
Poetic City is going to be a poetry festival in June and July this year. The main festival is going to happen between the 1st and the 10th of July with a whole range of performances, installations, open mics, writing sessions. There are going to be some workshops in the lead up to that on weekends through June. And then there'll also be, for the first time, activities for kids and young people through the July school holidays. So they'll continue through to the 16th of July. So yeah, we're going to have a really extensive and packed program, I think.
It sounds like there are a lot of components, and so that there's something for everyone.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyone out there who knows me knows I'm a bit of a poetry evangelist, and as well as, I guess, enjoying poetry and working with people who are already appreciating and writing poetry and part of the poetry community, I really like to try and put poetry in the way of people who might not have encountered it before, might have had bad experiences at school, might not understand the different ways that it can be presented into the world, and yeah, kind of invite people in to appreciate it. So that's one of my plans with Poetic City.
Poetry is for everyone. That's my...
Your motto?
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
So it sounds like that.
Yes, I hope so.
So could you talk just a little bit maybe then about how this came about?
Yes. This is going to be the second Poetic City Festival. The first one happened in 2021, mm-hmm. in between Canberra's two COVID lockdowns. Poetic City Winter Edition is being supported through the ACT Government and the City Renewal Authority with a placemaking grant, which is really exciting. Very much connected to winter in the city and the environment, the urban environment in winter. The first one was also funded by the City Renewal Authority with a city grant. And because we were, fresh out of our first COVID lockdown, most of the events happened in autumn, outdoors, which was lovely. This new iteration of it is going to be in the middle of winter. So looking at some outdoor events and installations, but also lots of really lovely, cozy indoor venues. Yeah, I think after the first Poetic City, which was, lots of fun, like it was really exciting after COVID to put on events that were still COVID safe and help to bring people back out of their houses and isolation and get together again, which was really, really lovely. Yeah, when these placemaking grants came up again, I thought, maybe I could try this again and potentially do something a little bit more ambitious.
It sounds quite ambitious, and it's really wonderful that the city is supporting poetry in this way. Mm. And my other thought listening to you speak, too, is that that's really the unifying power of poetry, right? That's why it's for everybody. We go through a lockdown, what's something that can bring us all out and connect us back together?
Yeah, I guess one of the other things that I really love about poetry as an art form compared to, I guess, lots of aspects of the visual arts and even other forms of writing, is that it is just so incredibly accessible. Like, the material of poetry is language, and we all have language, whatever our education levels, language or languages we speak, we have them, they're in us, we can take them anywhere, they're not heavy to cart around, they're not expensive to buy, and there are lots of ways that you can share poetry without having to spend lots of money or having to have your work curated or selected by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess as a curator of this festival, even though there are obviously some things that I'm choosing to include because I think they're really exciting or important, the festival's going to have lots of space for people to come and try out writing poetry for the first time or learn more about how to extend their craft, or to share their own poetry writing in spaces without gatekeeping.
Mm. Mm. Poetry is portable.
Very portable. And it's also kind of compact. So when I first started writing, one of the things I found, because I also have a background in the visual arts, mm-hmm. but being able to write a poem in the car when I arrived at work in the morning and just scribble something down, even if it's not complete, but kind of capture it. I guess people do the same with sketches to a degree, but it was just very easily fitted into other aspects of life. Yeah.
What are some of the ways that people who are more newcomers to poetry will be able to get involved?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that I would encourage people to do is look us up, look up the website and our social media, and we've got a mailing list, which is, I guess, the best way to beat the algorithms and make sure you get all of the information about what the festival is going to include. But our workshops are going to be starting in June, and they're very welcoming and open to everyone. None of them have prerequisites where you have to have even written a poem before, let alone published or anything like that. And they're quite exciting, and they have a focus, so you don't kind of have to come with, you know, oh, I have to bring everything. Like, you'll be supported and encouraged and given a starting point to work. Some of those workshops include one that's going to be engaging with the London plane trees that are in Odgers Lane, the laneway behind Smith's and the Melbourne building, which is going to be run by Sarah St. Vincent Welsh, who also runs a project about trees called Kindred Trees. So people will be spending time with the trees in winter. They'll be bare-limbed and writing poetry in response to that back in the cosy environment of Smith's Alternative. There's going to be the rerun of another workshop which we did the first time in 2021 called Poetry Paste Up with artist and poet Karen Florence. So this is one where people can come and either bring some of their own writing or write something at the spot and create graphic text-based posters that we'll actually then be pasting up on some walls around the city. So that'll help to create a visual presence for the festival, and that'll kind of happen in the lead up, so they're already up and about before the main festival starts. There's going to be a winter haiku walk with poet Owen Bullock. He's run those in other places and seasons, and they're very popular, and it's a really lovely way of walking around the city, observing things, engaging more deeply with the environment. There's going to be a workshop with brand new collaborators for me that I'm really excited about, which is the Coalition on Anti-Racism in Canberra. So they're going to be running a workshop called Poetry in Colour, Reading and Writing Anti-Racist Poetry. So that'll be a way to, because I guess, learn about some poets who've worked in that space, as well as create some poetry of your own. And there'll be a multilingual poetry workshop with Goulburn-based poet Andrew Moss, which will be providing people with prompts and support to write in mixed languages, so both English and other heritage or learned languages. There are a couple more workshops I'm still hoping to line up, but that's some of the things that are on the table already. There'll also be some other projects that people can submit to. So another project that we're going to do again that was very popular in the first Poetic City is called Haiku for You. So we'll be taking submissions of haiku on anything, but city and winter themed haiku are encouraged, and they will be curated into tear off flyers, you know, the ones that you can get to like find someone to mow your lawn or rent a property. So they'll be up around the city, but you can tear off a haiku.
Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah.
And you put it in your pocket and you have a poem in your
pocket. Last time we had some people who like tried to take a haiku each morning, almost like a, you know, a little meditation for the day, or a fortune telling kind of thing. Yeah. So, we got beautiful things in last time, and looking forward to doing that again. I'm also hoping to run a heartwarming love poetry exchange where people will be able to submit anonymous poems of like love and admiration that will then be popped in a spot in town where people can come and take a free heartwarming poem in the middle of winter.
There's so much creativity that's going into the planning and the it's just covering a lot of a lot of different human needs.
Oh, thank you.
It's really thoughtful.
I guess the other thing in terms of the performance and reading events during the festival itself, there will be then chances for people who come and participate in the workshops or contribute to these projects to then come and share their work as a, you know, reading in these events, meet other poets if they're new to poetry, other people who might have the same kind of concerns or interests as them, as well as learning more about poetry and hearing the work of other local poets.
So networking and socializing opportunities. And
absolutely.
There's that thing sometimes where you go to a workshop or you go to an event and you have a great time, and then outside of that space, there's no follow-up. So this is really planning sort of a way for people to follow up and engage, continue the engagement.
Yeah, and that'll not just be through the festival itself. You know, people can come and do a workshop, they can come to readings or performance events during the main festival. And, you know, one of the big focuses and one of the reasons I can achieve something that's so ambitious is because I'm collaborating with lots of other people who already are poets or organisers of poetry events in Canberra. So some of the people that I am working with include the team at Canberra Slam, which is a monthly Dixon poetry slam, that poetry thing that happens every Monday night at Smith's, Poetry Not Luxury, which is an open mic at Gang Gang, that's an occasional event, Mother Tongue Multilingual Poetry, the Us Mob First Nations Writers Group, Majura Cafe Poets, the Canberra Museum and Gallery, and University of Canberra's Centre for Cultural and Creative Research. So, yeah, working with all of those people has kind of created this really substantial, very experienced and engaged team, even though I guess we're working in a fairly, what's the word? Dispersed isn't the word that I'm after, but yeah, a wide ranging kind of a way. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. We are sort of dispersed. We're in our own little pockets. Mm. And this really is an opportunity to connect.
Yes.
And bring it together.
That's right. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to, I guess, bringing people from one poetry community into contact with the other parts of the poetry community, and I guess this really then means that people new to poetry coming into the festival will have those connections into the ongoing events and communities and networks in Canberra, because Canberra has a very active poetry community for a small town.
It really does.
There was actually at a previous Poetry on the Move festival run by UC a few years ago, some academics presented a paper at the symposium about, I guess, the distribution of poetry publication across Australia. And I think they analysed journal publications and anthologies, I think was what they did, and looked at that across a whole bunch of geographic and demographic breakdowns. And yeah, Canberra was like, had more poets per head of population based on that analysis by a significant order of magnitude.
I have to track this publication down. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'm quoting it from memory, which may be unreliable, but it was definitely, it was like seven times as the nearest other state or territory.
Oh my gosh.
We're quite a nerdy bunch here in Canberra, let's face it.
Great.
Though poetry can be cool.
It is.
Speaking of which, there is also going to be an installation called Poetry is Cool. Because I'm such a dag. I won't reveal too much more about it, but it's going to be a street library with a twist.
Oh, wow.
I'm still waiting to get the approvals to be able to install that. So I'll keep that close to my chest for the moment.
I love how there's this opportunity to just discover things. You know, it sounds like things will be popping up. And I think maybe the festival's already sort of getting warmed up. You've already done a couple of little pop-ups so far. Is that right?
That's right. So, yeah, last Friday and Saturday, because this is going to be the first time Poetic City is venturing into activities for kids and young people specifically. So I was keen to, I guess, try that out. So yeah, Friday and Saturday. Friday was, I guess, the last weekday, the April school holidays. So yeah, we had some pop-ups mainly focused on activities for kids. On the Friday, it was in Glebe Park near the Playful Endeavour setup, which is a kind of a outdoor play installation. And on Saturday, we did it in City Walk and had a performance by some Canberra Slam poets as well. So I guess these were, yeah, experiments in putting poetry in the way of people, seeing who engaged, learning. You know, there were a few things that I've already taken away that will enable me to refine the program for the main festival, which is great. And yeah, hopefully we introduced the idea of Poetic City and the fact that it's coming up to a bunch of families and people who hadn't encountered us before. So that was great. Our next pop-up ahead of the festival is actually going to be the program launch for the festival. That will be on the 13th of May in City Walk. There's a kind of area near the carousel that's been used for things like lunchtime music and so on. So yeah, we'll be there and there'll be a series of readings and performances by poets who are involved in the festival, potentially running workshops or involved in performances and events. So that'll be a really great opportunity for people to come. You don't have to book, you don't have to, you know, kind of commit to anything, but you can come and get a taste of what you might discover at Poetic City, as well as, taking away a little brochure that gives an overview of the festival program and links to, join the mailing list and make sure that you can register for events that you want to be involved in.
What's that date again?
The 13th of May, Saturday the 13th of May,
okay.
And it'll be in the afternoon
okay.
in City Walk. There is a event up on Facebook, and, you know, if you look at our social media and website, there are details there, so you can know what time to pop up with us to enjoy some poetry.
Excellent. Mm. Will there be registration required for certain events? And
yeah, the events will be a real mixture of, I guess, things that are drop-in that people can just, you know, put in their diaries and wander along to, or stumble across in the street, see the sign outside and decide to go in and join in. There will be some ticketed events, I guess, particularly where there are larger performances that have space requirements and things. Mm. Most of the events in the festival will be free. I know things are tricky for people at the moment financially, and definitely don't want price to be an obstacle. But of course, with, you know, venue sizes and things, there'll be a range of events where we do need people to register, just so that we've got to making sure we're holding things in places that there's room for all the people who are interested. And the workshops, there will be a modest fee and concessions, and there'll also be an allocation of tickets for people who are facing financial hardship or are in other kind of categories that might make the cost an obstacle to them participating. And people will be able to self-identify if they need to use one of those, rather than have to kind of put their hand up specifically.
Mm.
Yeah, that'll all go up on the website with the program very soon.
Okay.
Mm.
Lots to look forward to.
I hope so.
You mentioned the carousel. I remember in 1974 when that carousel was put there, was viewed as a signal moment in Canberra's maturation, strangely. It had been in Melbourne for 100 years or something.
Right. And wow.
It was an effort to make that area into something to draw people.
Mm.
So it's interesting, you've got a grant for placemaking to stage this festival. What's your sense of what the places that you're trying to make will be?
Okay, so in a funny sideline, my very first job was in town planning. So I do have some geography background as well, which might have helped me to make the placemaking case in the grant application. I guess the way I am looking at placemaking in this festival, so the specific grant that I got was focused on City West, so making and strengthening connections between the city centre and the ANU. So I guess that has shaped a number of things. I guess that's driving what venues I've chosen. There's going to be a range of, a wider range of venues, but some of the key venues are going to include the Street Theatre, Smith's Alternative, New Acton, Parlour Wine Bar in New Acton, Canberra Museum and Gallery, CMAG, and things in other locations scattered around there as well. It's a mixture, I suppose, of the installations that are going to kind of mark a place or shape a place in some way, create a physical engagement. Some of the workshops and events are going to be focused on place, so things like the Haiku Walk changes people's relationship to the place. The Secret Histories of City West project, which I mentioned, where a group of poets are being commissioned to write poetry engaging with real or imagined histories of specific locations around the city. And those will be included in a zine that'll be launched at an event for an indoor reading and also presented as a walking tour in City West. And I'll be putting pavement stickers with links to connect people to the poetry, so you can do a little walking tour of City West. Things like the tree workshop, that's actually getting people to focus on and write to trees in the location. Poetry paste-ups on the street, haiku for you to pull off around the city. So I think, as I said, it'll be a real mixture of the festival being visible in the place, creating a pathway of points that people can go to, either for those installations or for events. Yeah, and setting up a program that doesn't make anyone walk too far in one day, but that over the days of the festival, really, I guess, joins some dots through City West and draws people through the space from one venue to another.
I think a lot of times people don't think of poetry as a physical thing, though it is, right? And so I think what you're describing sounds, you know, not only in terms of the physical locations, but the way that people can move through and be with poetry and interact with it and create it. All that sounds like it all has a physical aspect there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely some of the events, people will be coming in and sharing poetry that they've created in completely other places and times. But a big aspect of this for me was looking at how poetry, whether it's the reading of it or the creation, writing, presentation of it, can prompt people to engage with the landscape, with the streetscape, with the place. Because the things that you pay attention to are the things you deepen your relationship with. Mm. And poetry is an excellent tool for paying attention.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So as much as anything, I think it'll get people paying more attention to that environment, perhaps noticing things they haven't noticed before. Even while I've just been roaming the streets, scoping out venues and looking for walls for poetry paste-ups and things like that, there are things that I've discovered in that streetscape that I never noticed before when I've been rushing from place to place, right, or, you know, driving past. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think what people find and see, I think, will be a real mixed bag of kind of noticing things that are really lovely or engaging, and also kind of going, oh, I haven't really paid attention perhaps to how brutal or how unwelcoming or bleak some particular spaces are. But paying attention to them can be that first step in shifting that relationship and, I guess, the sense of belonging and care about those places.
Here again are some of the festival nuts and bolts.
Poetic City Winter Edition will be on in Canberra in June and July. The main festival will happen between the 1st and the 10th of July in a range of venues in the city and city west. There'll also be workshops in June on weekends leading up to the festival and kids' school holiday activities throughout the July school holidays. Our website is poeticcitycbr.com. And there is a mailing list. If you go to the homepage of the website, there's a sign up button to join the mailing list so you can get updates about what's coming up, links to the program when that goes live. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and now Twitter. And there are links to all of those socials on the website as well. And yeah, the next thing to look out for is the program launch, where you'll really be able to get the full lowdown on all the things that are going to be happening and get a taste of poetry as well in City Walk on the afternoon of the 13th of May.
We concentrated during our interview with Jackie Malins on her organising of the festival. But she's a poet in her own right, of course. So let's go back to 2019, when she recorded a segment for ArtSound's Poetry on the Radio feature, which airs during Arts Cafe each Thursday. In each segment, a poet recites a poem, comments on it, then recites it again.
Forest Burial, for Tokaina. If I should die in Van Diemen's Land, lay me out in the forest, unadorned, near a fallen tree so the stars can see, let the devils sniff my bones. Let whiskers tickle my waxy skin, their pelts caress the shimmering dark, and finding I am made to eat, let the devils rend my flesh, with gleaming teeth bite into me, reveal my bright meat to the night, scrape the pink from ivory, growl and squeal my elegy, snap the tendons, lap the juice, cut my bones loose. Let the devils scatter my bones, play with them like sticks and stones, break the predictability of hip connected to thigh, to knee. Let the devils set me free. I wrote Forest Burial after travelling in Tasmania. I had a car accident on my way up the west coast, heading to a forestry blockade camp in the Tarkine to protest against old growth logging. I told the tow truck driver who pulled me out that I had all my camping gear and would have been fine to survive for a few days. And he said, ah, but the devils would have eaten you. I said I thought they were scavengers and only ate dead things. And he said, but if you stay still long enough. Once I was in the camp, I spent a few days walking through the ancient rainforest. Going back to the earth didn't seem like such a bad thing there, and I started thinking about the Parsi sky burial tradition in India, where dead bodies are laid out for vultures to eat. Forest burial is the result. It's published in my new collection, F-Words, which was released by Recent Work Press. You can also find me and more of my work on Facebook or my own website, Jackie Malin's Art. Forest Burial, for Turkana. If I should die in Van Diemen's land, lay me out in the forest, unadorned, near a fallen tree so the stars can see. Let the devils sniff my bones. Let whiskers tickle my waxy skin, their pelts caress the shimmering dark. And finding I am made to eat, let the devils rend my flesh. With gleaming teeth bite into me, reveal my bright meat to the night. Scrape the pink from ivory, growl and squeal my elegy, snap the tendons, lap the juice, cut my bones loose. Let the devils scatter my bones, play with them like sticks and stones, break the predictability of hip connected to thigh, to knee. Let the devils set me free.
Today we've spoken with Jackie Malins about the 2023 winter edition of the Poetic City Festival here in Canberra. For more information, go to poeticcitycbr.com or see the festival's Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages.
The Rhyming Bugle. Congratulations to Queanbeyan-based poet Omar Musa, whose volume Killanova was highly commended in the just-announced annual ACT Book of the Year Awards. Also among those highly commended was Merlina Bobus, a writer of fiction and poetry, for her story collection, The Kindness of Birds. This year's overall ACT Book of the Year Award went to novelist Lucy Neave for her second published novel, Believe in Me. On Monday, May 8, that poetry thing at Smith's Alternative in Civic at 7 p.m. presents two poets, Alan Wern, currently based near Fremantle, since the late 1960s has published verse novels such as The Lovemakers and Near Believing, Selected Monologues and Narratives 1967 to 2021 from Puncher and Wattman Press. Also appearing at that poetry thing on May 8 is acclaimed Canberra-based poet Penelope Leyland, the 2019 ACT Book of the Year Award winner for her collection Nye. Her most recent book, Beloved, Recent Work Press, 2022, is a sequence of poems in the voice of the 19th century diarist Dorothy Wordsworth. On Monday, May 15 at 7 p.m. at that poetry thing at Smith's Alternative, Recent Work Press presents new collections by Nathan Shepherdson and Sandra Renew. The University of Canberra Vice-Chancellor's International Poetry Prize is running again in 2023. Entries are now open until June 30. The prize is administered by the university's Centre for Creative and Cultural Research, which has announced that its judges this year will be two internationally renowned poets, Tony Barnstone from the United States and Mani Rao from India. The 2023 winners will be announced by November. The winner will receive $15,000, the runner-up $5,000, and there's also an international entrant award of $5,000. Search online for University of Canberra Vice-Chancellor's International Poetry Prize 2023. Next week on Poetry on the Radio, Penelope Leyland joins us and tells us about, among other things, her recent book Beloved, exploring the ties between Dorothy Wordsworth and her famous poet brother William. Poetry on the Radio is produced weekly on unceded Ngunnawal country in the studios of Art Sound FM. Series hosts are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produce the program with me, Peter Monaghan. Poetry on the Radio is heard each Sunday at 4:30 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. on Mondays, and online at artsound.fm. Find out more on the Poetry on the Radio page under the Programs tab at artsound.fm. The music on today's program has been Claire Edwards' performance of Amanda Cole's composition Glockenbocken from Edwards' 2016 album Kammerbox. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the muse Calliope by Gregorio Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid.